Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have one more day this week. If you've had a chance to tune into the program, I've been with my daughter Rachel here this week. She works with us at Renewal Ministries. She's part of a young adult outreach, an outreach to young people in their 20s and 30s. And it's focusing on intentionally pursuing the Lord's call to become His disciples. And we've talked about a lot of great stuff this week. And if you haven't had a chance to listen, friends, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You could listen to the program there. Simplest way to get access to this program and many other things we're producing in Renewal Ministries is to download the Renewal Ministries app. And it's easy to share with people as well. So welcome back, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Okay, we started yesterday. I think it was you talked about the conversion response, turning the heart toward Jesus, accepting His diagnosis of who we are, entering into that relationship of discipleship with Jesus. And you talked about, you know, hearing this one pastor talking about like three dimensions of it in very simple terms.
Sure.
Say that again.
Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did.
Okay, we talked some about being with Jesus. We talked some yesterday about become like Jesus. And so the last one today is do what Jesus did. What do you mean by that? And what does that look like?
Yeah, so doing what Jesus did is really like the practical way of expressing obedience, which we talked about, like actually doing what Jesus did. And Jesus lived, right, as a man. He lived for a period of time. And in a lot of ways, He showed His disciples, but He also showed through His own behavior how we are to live in relation to the Father. You know, so another way this guy that says this, Pastor John Mark Comer, he says, a lot of people want the life of Jesus without living His lifestyle. So doing what Jesus did is what does it mean to actually disciple? Now, as a disciple, live the lifestyle of Jesus. And a lot of the ways that that really can be done is through what the church has a very, very rich history of is the spiritual disciplines, which we don't really like that term. So sometimes we say spiritual practices because we don't like the word discipline, you know. But we actually, to actually say, like we've said, our heart is in rebellion. I'm coming to God. I need to be submitted to Him in obedience. So now I need to begin to do things. And I need to begin to set up my life in a way that even if I don't necessarily want to or feel like attracted to a particular place because of my human condition, I need to now submit myself to the will of God through practice. And then that practice and that obedience builds into delight, builds into an actual reorganizing of your life. And actually, that's how our hearts are changed, right? Is through actually putting ourselves in a position where then we can receive more. And we do that through particular actually practical disciplines and practical ways of living.
Let's talk about some of those.
So we talked about prayer a little bit, but I think the foundational one that all of the practices build on is silence and solitude. I was reading a little bit from the philosopher Blaise Pascal recently, and he has a quote that says, "All of man's problems can be traced back to the fact that he cannot sit quietly alone in his room." Yeah. And it's like, that's kind of, you know, that's true really in a lot of ways, you know, that we have to be going, we have to be doing, we have to be filling ourselves, we have to be with constant noise. And as we said in one of the other programs, silence and solitude is a place, one silent being quiet, no noise, not listening to music. We don't even really know what this is like because we always have our devices like making some kind of noise. Now that we have Apple Watches, we can't even have an original thought in the shower, you know, because they're waterproof and they pop on, you know. So like there's no place for us to be silent and there's no place for us to be alone. So we have to like work at it. You know, the monks used to wake up in the middle of the night just because it was the most quiet time to be there. And so to say, where do I need to actually take myself out of the noise of the world to sit with God, not even for it to say, I'm going to come with this agenda and I'm going to do something, but to really enter into silence and solitude to acknowledge that God is the ultimate reality, right? That's like really what coming into silence and solitude is coming into a place of coming into agreement where it's saying God is the ultimate reality. And I'm coming into this place of surrender. And in that process of surrender, you actually begin to face yourself and you begin to, Henry Nouwen calls silence and solitude the furnace of transformation. It's where you actually become transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Through the new self facing the old self.
Yeah, and you become quiet enough so you can follow the Holy Spirit. You can follow, the Holy Spirit's mission is to unveil and to manifest God. and to bring us into an understanding. And so that's part of the gift that God gives us to make it possible for us to come into the family. But if we're always running to and fro and we're hectic and we don't ever get to the place where we can hear his voice, we're running on our voice still mm-hmm. in many ways. Yeah. And it really limits how one mm-hmm. can grow. You know?
Yeah. So. And we're not able to actually hear who we are. You know, Jesus, he's baptized, he receives his identity, and then he goes out into the desert. And sometimes we read it as like he goes into the desert and the devil just happens to follow him there. And he unfortunately kind of gets into, he's trying to rest and he gets into this kind of tussle. But the desert and the quiet and the silence is the place where we do battle. So it's like Jesus is baptized and then he goes to do battle with his identity, you know, and he comes out and he shows us how to do that. That's why there were desert fathers that literally went into the desert to go into a place of spiritual battle to say, these things in me need to be defeated. And to say the way to combat those is to hear from God who I am, and then to enter into life through that place of silence and solitude. So if we don't start there, the spiritual disciplines and the spiritual practices that we'll talk about as we continue on in this episode, they just kind of become charity work. They can become – spiritual practices are very particular things that we do in order to clear a way for God to come into our life. You know, it's attacking a particular weakness. We don't practice a lot of times where we're strong. We like to do that. But when I play basketball, I would have to practice much more dribbling with my left hand because it's where I was weak. Because I was trying to get strong in this area, you know? So the practices aren't just like good things that we do, good spiritual things that we do so we can be as spiritual as possible. They're ways to actually, like a trellis on a vine, strengthen what is weak in us so that the Holy Spirit can actually come in and move in those areas and make us into a whole person.
Oh, that's good. I think one, even a starting point, I think, Rachel, is for everybody to realize how difficult it is to enter and stay in silence for everybody. You're mm-hmm. making that point earlier. Yeah. I was thinking of W.H. Auden's poem, Faces. Mm. It describes what human beings do. He said, faces at the bar cling to their average day. The lights must never go out. The music must always play. Mm. Lest we know where we are, lost in a haunted wood. Children afraid of the dark who've never been happy or good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you think about guys who are, as you were talking, special forces guys who get dropped behind enemy lines in super dangerous, strange places. That's easier for some of those guys probably than to be alone mm-hmm. in the desert right. for a long time, for all of us. So people need to know yeah. this is hard for right. all of us.
Yeah.
And this is where the Lord wants to yeah. lead us. And you can say, well, it doesn't work for me. I mean, I tried it. And mm-hmm. and you can jump and get out of there because right. it's so uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, but just know that that's part of the battle.
Right. Yeah.
And he's going to help you with that yeah. part of the battle.
Really practically, I started waking up and I would set my timer for literally 5 minutes, and I would set it and be silent, like not listen to praise and worship music, not listen to anything, and just try to get my thoughts out, like to have all those thoughts that come in just to be silent. And I started having a little envelope that when thoughts would come in or distractions would come in, I would write something down on a piece of paper and put it in that envelope to say, I'm giving this to God so I can enter into this place. Because when we actually start entering into these places, I was reading a book on silence and solitude, and the woman was saying that was writing, and she said, I was so scared to enter into silence and solitude because when I started actually doing it, these questions started bubbling up in me. This pain that I had been running from started bubbling up in me, and I started to realize, do I really actually know how to love? Do I know how to love well? Am I actually entering into these places in my life? And these places that she had been running from began to come up in silence and solitude. And at first she thought something was wrong, but that's actually the purpose, is to actually enter into a place where those things that we haven't been facing with God, we don't go digging for them, but he brings them to the surface. Because what's going to happen when you enter into silence and solitude first is all of your thoughts about yourself are going to come to the forefront. Right, all of the things that you attach yourself to, all of the different identities, all of the masks that we're wearing that we have to put on, we can't put on in silence. We can't put on in solitude because there's no one to put them on for, right? Yeah. And so we come to a place where we can't put them on for ourselves anymore. And that's uncomfortable. So we just want to say, okay, I want to go, or I'm just going to dive into my book, or I'm going to put on some music, or I need to get away from this.
That's Auden, you know, got to keep the lights going,
yeah.
lest I know where I am.
Yeah.
Lost in a scary mm-hmm. place, you know, right. being in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And I think in my own life this past year and a half during COVID, ironically, I developed a habit of handling what was already a habit in my life differently. Mm-hmm. You don't know this yet, Rach, but when you get older, you get up in the middle of the night, you know, to do certain things you need to do. And then you come try to fall back asleep. And many times because of the busyness of life or things going through my mind, it would be very hard to fall asleep. And I could get anxious about them or, you know, stressed out a little bit at times. And I just started saying, you know, during COVID, I'm kind of thankful, not for COVID, but for the moment, what God taught me in the moment. So I got no place to go tomorrow. Yeah. I just have nothing. So I'm just going to talk to God. Mm-hmm. And so I'd put my hand on my chest and I would just in very simple ways say hello to God, say, I love you, Lord. Lord, I want to talk to you. Holy Spirit, will you help me? You know, escort me into the Father's presence. Help me see and understand. And then, of course, things would come to mind. Like you were saying, you had an envelope. I have a little card, you know, a little index card and a pen next to me so I can write down so I can just let it go.
Right.
You know, these things I have to do tomorrow that can totally distract me because I want to stay in this conversation, Lord. I want to be here with you. And almost every single night this happens, you know, in different lengths of time and whatever. So I'm thankful that I have to get up in the middle of the night and it's kind of an automatic thing.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know, I'm not even going to worry about this stuff anymore. I'm just not. I don't really care about it. But this is the best part of my day. Going back to the monastic thing, I can understand why they said it. It is so quiet.
Yeah,
in the middle of the night, it's great.
Right. Yeah. And you begin for monasticism as a, you know, as a tradition in the church, the monks, they would, the center really besides the church of their place that they live is the cemetery. You know, they put it right so they have to walk by it every day. Every time somebody dies, they leave an open grave next to it because their vantage point is starting from, I'm going to die. You know, so what in my life now do I set up? So that's why they're getting up in the middle of the night to have silence and solitude, because they're reworking everything in their life to actually meet that end in the right way. Because you can't actually set up your life properly if you don't start with the end in mind, you know? So it's like this tradition of monasticism to begin with this and then to build upon it with all of these different disciplines to actually say, where in my life do I need a trellis, like a vine, so the vine can actually grow strong, you know? So those are, you have disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement, you know? So that would be like disciplines of engagement would be like prayer, worship, community, all of these different things that we need. And then disciplines of abstinence would be sacrifice, frugality. You know, it's one thing I read was a suggestion saying, are you spending too much money? To combat that, start going grocery shopping at a grocery store in the poorest part of your city consistently as a discipline. Because then you're exposing yourself to people who are not like you, and then you're spending less money. Or to have these different things in place to say, I need to reorder my heart. Maybe I'm struggling with a particular sin. You know what? I'm going to give up buying coffee for 6 weeks because it might seem like they're not related, but you're saying, I actually need to remove things so that things can properly flow through me. And I need to begin to set up my life in a way where I'm actually denying myself, which we don't like, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very good, very practical, very helpful. It's just the spiritual journey. Thank God for the Catholic mystics and the Catholic tradition on prayer. So what a great week. It's been wonderful having you here, Rachel. And friends, I hope if you enjoyed the show this week, you'd be able to share it with many of your friends. And I hope to have you back again soon, Rach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. God bless you, friends. Have a blessed weekend. And let's take that step. Let's be with him. Let's become like him. Let's do the things he did. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.